Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I heard a man of God on the internet, I think a rising apostle, he said something about helping your family members. A lot of people would have seen that clip. That's the kind of clip that really touches people. He said, if you have money, some of you have money, you cannot do anything for your family members. That is wickedness. Blah, 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 blah. That is true. And I said, most times when you have problems, finally your family members will remain. You see, the truth is that there's truth in that. And sometimes life has taught us to even sound like this also. Because the Bible speaks about a friend that can stay, what? Closer than a brother. And it's true. But you see, the way we have experienced life, some of us don't even believe those kind of friends exist. But they do exist. I grew up with friends. Yesterday my wife saw me doing something. I thought she was going to laugh at me. I grew up, I don't know if 100% some of them are still like that or are like that necessarily, because I'm not in their heart. But we grew up in a place that we learned to, always, when there's an opportunity, we share it around with our friends. She saw that I was calling a friend yesterday. He's an apostle, a rising apostle too. And I know nobody knows the struggle of ministries than a pastor, a fellow set man. So I know what it means to be raising ministry up, and he's trying to raise a ministry up. So when I saw this opportunity for money, I called him, I said, you know, apostle, we're speaking out. I thought she was going to laugh at me, because she would have been like, why are you sharing the news everywhere? But it's only him. I said, there's this certain opportunity, blah, 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 blah. You know, I know your brother to be in the U.S. and want to be in the U.K. Why not do this? And he was so excited, and I was asking for the link. I said I was going to send it tomorrow morning and all that, you know. So you see that you have an opportunity, and you can't just help it, but you look forward to telling that friend. Are you going to get what I'm trying to say? It is possible to have people like that in your life who are friends, who stick closer than a brother, that the Bible said, but because of the experiences, people think only family members are the finality. It comes to a point that a people becomes part of your family. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. It comes to a point. When I knew that early, I started raising the church like a family. If you observe, what you see is a product of what the Lord taught us many years ago. I grew up where I saw sometimes people have issues, and it's quite normal. So I said to myself, Lord, what do I need to do to raise the people who think like a family? And I received some instructions from the Lord, some wisdom from the Lord, and I began to raise people like that. People who can look out for each other. Hallelujah to Jesus. Who can go extra mile for each other. And I think to a very fair extent, we have raised that kind of community here, have we? Yeah, so it gets to that point where your friends become part of a family. You can give them a certificate and say, welcome to the family. So don't God will bring such people. But you see, when you've had bad experience, you just close your heart and say, no, this one family. No, they say, na friends, na wicked pass. All those stupid quotes. Say, na your best friend will kill you. Na your best friend will kill you. It has entered brother now. Na your brother or sister, na then will kill you. You have a sister now. You're already anticipating the death, your death. Probably you know of two sisters that one slept with the other person's husband. You now, your sister comes to visit you. You're marking your sister. She wakes up in the night. You go and stay and look at where she is. Where did they go in the night? I'm going to ease myself. Now, like so that they dress, ease themselves. My friend, go back and wear buba. Wear something that covers everywhere. Your sister is wondering, which one is this one again? But because you saw the stories, are you getting what I'm trying to say? You watch movies. Your sister is not even taking that direction. You are helping them to think. So they are friends. They are wonderful friends. Don't give up on friendship. God will bring some people your way that can help you become 10 times better than what you are. I tell you the truth, he does that. But if your heart is already locked because you believe friends, Now who know you, now go kill you. You've heard that kind of quote before. Now who know you go kill you. Now, some people have even put it on their social media handle. They put it on their wall in their house. Now, who know you? Go kill you. Watch your back. And sometimes when you go to church, they don't help matters. You now hear familiar spirits. There are spirits in your house, in your parlor, people you eat and drink with. The next thing the prophet will tell you, I see. Your mother is the one that tied you. But has mothers tied people before? Yes, now. Does it mean every mother is tying people? No. But if you are not careful as a prophet, that will become your pattern of prophecy. If you go to certain places, it is always somebody that did somebody something that is a prophecy. Go to certain places, you will see it. Anybody tying your star? Anybody did this? Anybody that tied you? Blah, blah, blah. Whether it's not my father, make he die. Whether it's my mother, let her die. Whether it's my sister, you fall even in prayers. Why do I say that sometimes parents can do those things? I know parents can do it, but it doesn't make it a belief system. It should not be a doctrine. Because I've seen actually how that tell everybody out there to come in. I've seen how that a woman tied her family, her children before. I've seen it. Nobody told me. I saw it. I grew up in the same area with the person. We're in the same block in the barracks. I've seen where she changed literally to a cat. Like, stand like this, you change to a cat. I've seen it. Nobody needs to tell me that people change to cats. And some people will be looking for scientific analysis to prove that people cannot change. I have seen human beings change to cats before. Black cat. And I shouted, fire! She did, pew! And she ran and entered her room. Entered the room. And the door was not open. No. She entered the room. So you see that kind of thing. And you know, you cannot see it with ordinary eye. Because they are not disappearing with ordinary eye too. I was praying. I was in my parlor praying. In the parlor praying. And I was outside seeing the woman change to cat at the same time. The same time. Somebody say, explain what you mean. I don't know how to explain it. And immediately I gained consciousness of myself. I just opened door. She was at the front. The cat. And I said, I release the fire of God. I went, pew! And ran. The next day, she didn't come out till the next day. And I asked the children, what's wrong with your mom? They said, she's sick. When I told my mom saw her the next day when she came out. My mom said, Mama, so, good morning. She did not reply. My mom now went close to her. I did greet you. She said, I did reply. Oh, and she entered her room. And she really tied her. I can tell you she did that. Because none of them was able to do anything reasonable with their lives. And we saw how that she was the one. In fact, the last one who I discipled one of the boys. I followed up that boy. He was doing so well. When I left Kaduna, what I heard about him, I was so surprised. Young, bright future. Good prospect. So, people like that, now, do you think they just stood up and said they want to tie their children? No. Satan will give you something with this hand and collect more with this hand. It was more like they went there for something very mild. Maybe they want to tie their husband to be giving them money. That's how it starts. Now, see, the next part of sacrifice is that one of your child will collect the destiny. They will now cry. Okay, they will now go and give the destiny. Then I say the next, to sustain this charm, and to sustain you, if not, you will die. You have to bring the destiny. That's how it starts. People that draw all these occultic things, do you watch this Nollywood? They don't tell them everything at the beginning. They just tell them it's one sacrifice. They first tell them it's goat. They first enter with goat. When they enter with goat, after a few months, they will now say, bring an unborn baby. Stupid things. Before you know, that's how they become ritualists. That's why that eagerness to get money, you have to reduce that spirit. If it's too much, calm down. Else you become Yahoo. Very, very Yahoo. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
I hope you've learned something.
Yes, sir.
So let's continue what we're teaching. In the first service, I was in Galatians 2:22, right? That I enter into a lot of stories. 21, Christ died in vain, that part of scripture. If we are full of legalism, he died in vain. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness come through the law, then Christ died in vain. If it comes through the law, Christ died in vain. Righteousness does not come through the law. That is why people that dress in a certain way to attract God's righteousness or attract God are ignorant people. There is no prescribed dressing, way of dressing in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says you should dress modestly. Are we together? That you should put on modest apparel. There is no heaven's cloth. Heaven does not have a particular cloth. So no denomination should have a particular cloth. It's called ignorance. Now, it doesn't matter how big they are. It's ignorance. Are you listening to me? The only problem we have in the New Testament church is age is that, you see, for the Old Testament, those prophets of old were in their, of course, Jesus ended the ministry. But if those guys were young, some of them would have not listened to Jesus. They were old. They were almost dying before Jesus came. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That's why the New Testament even prevailed. In this today's world, some people who have wrong mentalities are as young as us preaching the New Age mentality. So you observe that somebody who has a strange belief that is supposed to be existing in Moses' time has a lot of people following him. Imagine that Moses was not hearing word and he was in the generation of Jesus. You think that Moses will not have a lot of members? He will have. John the Baptist had disciples. Jesus had disciples. Are you shocked? Naturally, John and his disciples, are they not supposed to follow Jesus? After he said, this is the one, he still maintained his disciples. At a point, he said, go and check that man out. Is he the one or should you expect another? Jesus now sensed that he was offended at his ministry. He said, go and tell him, blessed is the one that is not offended at me. And after a while, the guy died. Hallelujah to Jesus. But today we have the old and the new. Old beliefs, new belief. And so you see these people have their people because in the old there was glory. In the new there's glory. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So it's quite difficult. But it's a call for the new to be very outstanding. Very, very what? Outstanding. You want to become a tower of righteousness, a tower of truth for people to come and follow. You got to be outstanding. That's why Satan will fight us. The old has nothing to do for humanity. The old is not the order of the day. The old cannot bring about the kingdom age. It cannot mirror down the kingdom age. The old cannot do that. It is a new. Jesus said, I will not put what? New wine in what? Old wineskin. Satan will fight the new. I've said it before. That is why he fights all of us that claim we have this new creation mentality. I did a teaching called New Creation Agenda. I was trying to expose that. How that the devil is fighting young people very well, especially those who claim they have these beliefs. He wants to make sure they are frustrated. Before you know, they are suffering from this and suffering from that, just to frustrate their beliefs. When the seed of the word entered, fell on the ground, the Bible said, then the enemy will come with what? Trials and what? Affliction. Because of what? The seed. Because of the seed of the word. So immediately they understand their place in Christ, all of a sudden trials and affliction and blah, 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 blah. You are wondering, after all these things I know, why am I thinking about a man? Why am I thinking about a woman? I'm not supposed to be thinking that thing. I know who I am, but with a price. When you come back again, the devil will offload all the demonic thoughts again in your head. I know who I am. I just spent 3 hours praying in tongues and these thoughts are coming. He's scared that you have potential to bring about a generation that will not be thinking in that direction, that demonic direction. That if you prevail, a lot of people will follow God through your life. So he wants to stop you. He wants to stop you at this point. You are at that point that you have prayed and confessed the word. He brings more trials. You not be wondering, does the word really work? It's working. That's why you are seeing that level of trial. The word of God said, if their mindset were right, they would have faced the war and entered into the glory. So you see, you have the right mindset. You have the right knowledge. That is why that war is coming now. Win the war. Because you have designed the victory. I saw Mama T's post, was it yesterday? She said, the born again believer should always have an expectation to always win. You are born of God, and by default, you have what? Overcome the world. Anytime you are faced with a difficulty, a situation, know that you ought to win. The situation will not win you. You will win the situation. Say, I will win. Every time, any day, in any situation. You always win. Have the expectation. Have the expectation. Just align with the Holy Ghost. Align with the Holy Ghost. Walk with the Spirit. It's not hard to walk with the Holy Ghost. Just sit with Him. How many of you know my voice here very well, that if I call it another number, you know I'm the one talking? You know, right? Because you have been listening to me every time. My sermons, the instructions, my rebukes. So if I call it another line and say, I've done it. Sometimes I call pastors the other line and I said, or somebody calls them and I say, how are you? Say, yes, sir. I'm fine, sir. How did they know? They know my voice. Hallelujah to Jesus. Even though it was their friend's number, I used to call them. That's how it is. You stay with somebody for so long, you'll be familiar with how the person talks. In fact, they know my expression. If pastor comes and he doesn't talk and he enters his office, something is wrong somewhere. If pastor smiles at you when you are doing that, something is... They understand everything. That's how it is with God. If you stay with God's presence very well, the way God speaks and does His thing will be very unique to you. You will know it. Because you have stayed in His presence, and anytime you stay in His presence, your whole body, your hair used to rise. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Your ears used to move. They used to dangle. You just feel one cold air around your head. Anytime you stay within the presence of God and pray, you will feel one unique experience such that now you are in the market square. And how do you know that the anointing is strong upon you? What happens to you in the secret begins to happen to you in the market. You just feel like something is like when I shook a pastor one time many years ago. We're done with the service. We're not doing Sunday service. So after service, we just shook. He said, "Pastor," I said, "How are you?" He says, "The presence of God upon you is too strong." Now, why was he sensitive to even sense the presence of God? He always stays in the presence of God. Such that he can tell through a handshake that the presence of God is what? Strong. I've met people like that too, that I can just shake them and I can sense the presence of God. There was a man years ago in Jos. His nickname is Fire. I thought they were just calling him Fire for fire's sake. Until one day we shook and I felt fire on my hands. I said, "What's that your name again?" He said, "My name is this, but they add fire to it." I said, "They are not just adding fire. You have fire in your body. You are fire." They call him and add fire to his name. And I shook him and I felt fire on my hands. I had to be telling my friends, "This guy is truly fire." But the other people that will shake him, I said, "Your hand too strong." You can just come and miss... Just come into the atmosphere of an anointed man and tell that man is anointed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because you have been practicing the presence. It's different from knowing the word. "I know I am, bought with a price. Hey, glory." You know, you must learn to sit in the presence of God. Talk with the Holy Ghost. Early in the morning, you wake up. You pray in the Spirit. There's a book years ago we read called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Speak to the Holy Spirit because He's a person. "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Guide me, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake today. I am sensitive to your presence in the name of Jesus." Then you pray in other tongues. You meditate on scriptures. Sometimes He brings a scripture in your heart. So sometimes He raises a song in your heart. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? How many of you woke up or you are driving or you are walking and suddenly a song, you begin to hear a song in your soul? But there's the one you want to hear. You are hearing, "In your presence, that's where I am strong." But you want to now hear these Gen Z songs. That's the one that is sweeting you. "The way you pamper me, pamper." The one that the Holy Ghost is raising is the one you should sing. And I'm not against these songs I'm saying. I'm just giving an example. Because maybe the song is danceable. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You feel like dancing, but he's raising a song. You're not like, oh, these songs are boring. Listen to it. I told you about an experience I had. I went to buy a car years ago with a young man in church here. And we went to his place in Abuja. So in the night, he said, sir, can I play you songs? I said, okay. He started playing songs and they were hitting all this thing, bang, 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 everywhere, bass line, everything was just moving. Woo. I said, hey, play a song, a worship song. He said, sir, this is worship. You know, they're shouting. Yah! So I said, no, that's not what I want to hear. He said, sir, which one should I play? I said, dumb one. Just play his collection for me. He said, sir, dumb one. If I hear that man's song, I used to feel like sleeping. I said, that's where you have a problem then. If you feel like sleeping, there's a problem. I said, what interests me? I told him, I said, it gets to a point, the first things you will like songs that you dance. You know, that one, you are still growing as a Christian. You want to be doing cultural dance in church, you are still growing. When you have faced life and faced situations, and understood that it's not all that glitters that is good, you start reducing. There are certain kind of songs you want to hear now. You just sit down and be thinking of glory, blessings and honor, glory. I see the Lord. You'll be wondering what is happening to you. I see the Lord. Now the words are more interesting to you than the, before it's beat. Oh, you just start doing like this. Hey. But at a point now, the words are more important to you. You want to hear what the person is saying. You don't want to waste your time. You have wasted your time for too long as a Christian. Now you are ready to be serious with your life. So when you just hear the weddings, no matter how the melody is nice, I beg, you are interested in weddings now. Why do you think sometimes if you listen to me, if you are around me, you observe I'm listening to a collection of 2-7. You always hear me listening to Dalizette. Listening to Paul Weibo. Listening to people you don't even know. Old song. Sometimes if you drive with me, if you are not careful, you will just start sleeping immediately. Because the song you'll be hearing is even mass choir song. I am grateful for the things that you have done. You see me going back. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus and he is in love with me. I want to hear what the singer is saying. The words help me to worship God in the spirit. But there was a point that it was the beat, the bass line. Whoosh, 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 Mado. That's hot. And that's what we want to present in church. It gets to a point that you get tired of all of those things. They become just dramas to you. Are you listening to me? Even as Christians, there's a time that it is, you want to be doing, it's just activities. You are still a baby Christian at that point. You just want to be doing, you want to take prayer, you want to take announcement, you want to take, you are lobbying those things. It's because you have not stayed with God. A point comes that they will be begging you to come and take, you'll be like, can another person please take? You just want to sit down and hear the word. At that point, you have grown. It comes a point, some of you today who were begging you not to enter a relationship, you'll be the one begging people not to enter. No enter. The person will say, explain. You say, they need to explain this thing. Just believe me. Trust me. Don't enter. Sir, I don't enter a relationship. No. Why will I not enter? You know, like a young lady, she sent me a message. I told her, Donna, somebody is telling me he is interested in her. So I told the person to wait. And I told her to wait. For me, I feel the person is still getting healed. He just left a relationship. And he's not even part of us, part of this church. He's part of us. He always says he's part of us. So let me leave it like that. So I felt like you should give yourself like 1 year. Because I just gave myself 3 months, 4 months. And you say he has healed. I say you have not healed. How was the relationship? You say 4 years. You healed for 3 months. I said no. Keep on healing before you. Because you may just use this lady to fill space. It's not like you are healed. And he has already started getting close to the lady. So I called the lady. I said, don't enter a relationship. Oh, she said, yes, sir. Focus on your life and build wealth for now. You are still very young. She said, yes, sir. Then later in the evening, I saw a message. Sir, can't I focus on my life, build wealth, and still be in a relationship? I said, now, wow, they don't toast this one. Oh. Very sincere question. Can't I focus on my life, build wealth, and still have a relationship? Me, I just gave my instruction. I said, I have told you to enter a relationship now. You are, you know, a small girl. Say, I am small. What are you doing in a relationship? 23 years old. I know some of you are looking at me now, one kind. If you want to marry at 23, you know, what makes you mature is not necessarily the age. It's the wisdom of God. You can marry before even 23. You can marry at 22, can marry at 23, can marry at 24. It's very okay. You can marry at 26. You can marry at a very young age. It's very okay. But when you don't have the wisdom of God, and you have not really attained anything physically, why are you entering a relationship? You are 21. No skill. No money. No wisdom yet. And you are in love. What minister to you that you know what you are doing? Why do you think you are love? You are in love, I mean. Butterflies in the belly. Oh God. Kai, oh, sense. Hey. Sense or I die. Sense man does not know where it's going to first. You too. You want to enter a relationship with sense. We have not finished pastoring sense. You are in love with sense. You don't get sense, oh. Sense that they will tell him to bring keyboard, bring prayer this thing by this thing, second come. You will come after when rain starts. Yeah, you know they call yeah in house. When the rain starts falling, sense is salt. He will not come out. One day I went to check revival prayers, and they say the person holding, what was that? My speaker. For revival prayers, so revival, we are praying to for revival. Yeyefi. Meaning small, how they call it in English? Drizzling of rain is why he did not come out. He is salt. I went there, the Holy Spirit said, go and look at what they are doing. I went there, I just parked far at that Dunamis church gate. I think I even entered inside, I told somebody to watch the car. I just came outside and I was looking. I stayed there. And I saw their pastor Peter praying and they were praying. I said, what of the mic I told them to have? I said, they should be praying out loud. He said, sense has not come. I stayed like 30 minutes, sense has still not come. Then after 1 hour, I think close to 1 hour, I left. I think he came later. Did he come? He did not even come, Jesus Christ. Because of Yeyefi. Now he's more. Are you more mature now? Okay. I think the other time I heard he didn't come to church because he did not iron his clothes. Yes. Wash his clothes, sorry. Yes. So God cannot use that mentality. I know he has grown now. But that kind of mentality, heaven will push you. Because heaven would not take that kind of excuse. I have never had an excuse that cloth made me to miss church. See, even before I was a pastor, I can't remember ever telling, sir, I did not come because I did not wear my cloth. I can't remember it. They will kill me where I grew up. In fact, there was no room for that kind of excuse. Me that I will not do anything, they will say I should need to raise my hand up. Talk less of when I do something. My spiritual father can just look at you and say, you look too confident and like you have chakra. Says are nothing. You may be stubborn, neither. You are not stubborn, is you may actually become stubborn, neither. So self punishment because we are seeing traits of stubbornness in your life. Not that you have acted. Talk less of saying, hello, sir. Somebody that will catch you when you give wrong excuse. How can you even give? You know, when I started this thing, right, when I was born again, I was still playing football. So it was hard to enter into this Christianity very well. I was full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're going to pray, but that football was my thing. And now, 4 p.m., that football used to be sweet on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They will say they have prayers. The thing used to tire me at that point. I was like, so I've ended my football career. And I had this vision that one day I'll play in Real Madrid. I did not say Barcelona, Real Madrid and Man City. Which one is Arsenal? Nobody should offend me in this church. Nails or sex syndrome, I beg you. You know, you can't be in Arsenal and expect anything. You don't expect, you just expect the worst. If you're in Arsenal, your life is like you are prepared for worst case scenario. For instance, what if we reach the final and lose? For instance, what if now we they win but we can't still lose? That's what you just keep on saying. For instance, what if it was one goal to win in penalty shootout and their keeper, or we play to throw in? You just expect anything. Because it does happen. So I was actually expecting. Do we have Arsenal fans there? Me, I ran away from Man U years ago. If you are wise, just run away. You truly will not win anything. So when. But I sincerely wonder why Arsenal fans are still Arsenal fans. No, you have to be loyal. Hallelujah to Jesus. I love you guys for that. We are going somewhere. I don't know who said that's nothing. Don't do it again, please. It always used to cause distraction. I would have never played for Arsenal if I was playing football. So I was thinking of Madrid and Man City, close like that. Neither would I have played for Man U. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was thinking of those things. And, you know, people had expectation I was going to play professional football. People had serious expectation. My friends were waiting to hear the day they signed me. People, some of my father's friends would tell me, I will be alive when they sign you. I'll be going for training, you'll be hearing, you this boy, I'll be alive. I'll see when you play for Super Eagles. They were expecting it. And I truly played this football. I'm not lying, though. I played it very well. My nickname in the barracks. If you know anybody that knows me, just say Papilo, now my pastor. That's all. After me, they've not given anybody that name again. So I truly, me myself, I wanted to play football. My friends, everybody were expecting me. And when I say Ajala, the boy people call Moses Simon, was my teammate. Kingsley, Mike Bologna, and a lot of guys, you know, who play professional football. I did not watch them play. They were my teammates. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I really expected to go far. Then they now say prayer meeting. He said, play the way you want. Don't be angry. After I finish, we will talk. Just play well. My body was weak. Now I was just passing the ball, no dribbling again. Just give you. I will finish. I just went and said, sir, I'm sorry. When they said, they did not send you anywhere, Simon. They did not send you. Now he asked me a question. He said, if God opened a window for you to play football and you're calling, which one will you choose? I looked at him and I smiled. I said, which calling? He said, I'm very serious. I said, what is the calling? Because I don't even know my calling. You see, God will use you mightily. That's what I used to hear. But which one is the calling? He says, so if God calls you and God opens a door for you. So I now smiled. I said, sir, which calling? In our love, he said, I like the fact that you are being sincere. And I told him, sir, it will be very hard though. If I see this thing to play under 17 now, I'll go and come and serve God. He said, you cannot go and come and serve God. If you go, he said, you have gone. Then he told me, choose now. Don't waste your time pursuing what you will not do. If you want to play football, he said, go and play football. And be a very normal Christian. He said, but if you have chosen this path that God has chosen for you, you have to leave football now. That now was where the problem was. Now, like, I said, let me be playing now. Then, if God starts using me, I will stop playing. He said, you cannot do both at the same time. Do you know that's how I stopped football? Because when I went back home, I thought of the call that I don't even understand. I thought of the football. And I chose what I'm doing. My friends insulted me. One of my friends said, Uwaka, to my face. Uwaka. Because I told him that God told me to focus on my calling. He said, you like, hey, Simon said, no, go play with God, go punish you. God, go punish you. So imagine the pain in the heart of somebody that knows how I play football, telling me God will punish me for refusing to play football. And I always tell people that if you know your calling, embrace it very early. Don't be wasting time. Fulfill it very early. That's the beauty of life. When I stopped playing football, immediately I started embracing ministry fully. I started preaching from age 16, 17. Yes. When they are going for football training, I'm printing tracts to go and preach. You may see me now playing very well. You know, still playing some of the worst things, injuries I've had in my life. It's through football I've had it. But am I not fulfilling my calling now? I play it for fun, not as a calling. That's why you can never see me in any part of my body playing any match, serious match. I will not go. If they kill me, I cannot do ministry. My only business is to play it very much. And when I'm playing, I used to tell them, I beg you, don't mark me like that. Oh. I pass, so I be. Oh. There's one time, Ken, when he wanted to mark, I said, if you mark me, who will preach on Sunday? The way you are doing now. I went to meet, I said, if you mark me like this, who will preach on Sunday? You better calm down. He started laughing. Because now I'm not playing it professionally. I'm just playing it to keep fit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? When you understand your calling, embrace it very early. God has called you to be so-so things. So-so. Maybe God called you to be a psalmist. Now, your job is taking your time more. And in the realm of the spirit, that's not even your actual job. It's a conditional job. You know, there's a conditional job before actual job. They say, na condition make kara fish bend. So you are in this job now because you have not discovered a skill that will bring you to your real job. Take for instance, you are a teacher. But your call, why is Pastor Joe laughing? Is anybody a teacher here? Hallelujah to Jesus. Take for instance, you are teaching. Take for instance, you are teaching. And now that you are teaching, I don't look at you like somebody that has one passion for teaching. If you claim you have now, it's because you are teaching. I don't want your student to be disappointed in you. Like linguist, where is he? Linguist say he has passion to teach. I don't believe it. You know why he's thinking he has passion? They've not carried 500 and slapped him on his face and said, this is your salary. He will leave the children. He said, this is 250. Before the end of the month, we'll add it. Your job is just to sit at the back end of the system and be arranging this thing. And I say, linguists, don't leave us. Teacher linguists. We love you. We love you. You love me, call. I was talking with a retired surveyor. He said, while they're in their days, you can be schooling and be working with federal government. I don't know if you heard that. They say in their days, you are schooling university and working with the government. Those people really enjoy their life. Oh. The ones that are finished in our days, where are the jobs? Talk less that you'll be schooling and be working. So he said he now went for NYSC. The way he was teaching physics and chemistry and maths, the students now gathered and were crying with the proprietors and they were telling him to stay. They want to retain him. He said he didn't think twice because he had a job in Macaulay. He said, sorry, you cannot pay me. They cried. He said, yes. He said, but he told them they can't pay him and he wanted to come and marry. So he had to come. Abi, he was even married, self, sorry. Ah, wow, those days you marry and go for NYC. He said he was already married, so he told them, you can't pay me. He came back to his job here. And after school, he was promoted almost immediately. So conditional jobs are like people who finish university and probably are teachers. You can always predict that people who teach immediately after university are doing that out of condition. Seated here, if you are a teacher, I am 100% sure that that's not what you wanted to do. No matter how you love the student today, that was not what you planned for. Am I saying the truth? Because especially in private school, the way they pay you, you'll be wondering whether something is wrong somewhere. Some of you who are teachers, you collect 30,000. Thank you. It's even better now. In our time, where I was teaching, I was collecting 20,000 around 2012, 2011. I was teaching somewhere. Where were you 2013? Some of you. As a teacher. All right. So you have to fear me. They not born me today. So I was teaching that time. Some of you were still in secondary school. GSS. Sarah, what class were you in 2013? What class were you in 2013? 2013. Yes, Jess. You have reached Jess 1? She said, I think it's Jess 3. You can sit down. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the teacher said, head teacher or headmaster, they used to call them. God bless his soul. He's late now. When he did the test for me, it was mathematics and physics he gave me to solve. When I was done solving it, they did not give me admission later. He just said, when I was solving, he said, stop, you've gotten the job. So when I started, he said, I'll bring lesson notes for all the classes. SS1, SS2, SS3. I'm not joking, no. SS1, SS2, I'll bring lesson notes for math, physics, and... No, he was doing chemistry. Math, physics, and English. I said, I'll bring lesson note for all the classes. He said, yes. He said, every morning, that's the first thing he will mark before I begin to teach. I said, I asked him again, I'll create lesson note for math, English, and physics for 3 classes. He said, yes. My salary is how much? He said, 20,000. I said, okay, sir. First week, I created. Second week, it created me. My hand became weak. I could not write again. I wrote, my hand became... I just dropped my hand. I say, hand, rest. I went to the school. I packed all their load. I was ready to quit. I said, sir, I don't think I can continue. I did not do lesson notes. He said, why are you going to come here, my friend? I said, sir, I cannot be writing lesson notes. I just want to quit. I'm sorry. I just want to quit. He said, okay. So what do you want us to do now? I said, sir, except you say I will not write lesson notes. I can teach with my head. I know what to do. I'll just write this thing and cover it. If you agree, I promise to teach them very well. He said, okay, don't tell any teacher in this school that you are not teaching with lesson notes. You hear me? I said, yes, sir. I think I told one guy. I was the first person they paid salary. The children will go and tell their parents. They'll come and employ me to teach the children at home. So at that year, 2013, I was collecting up to 100,000 a month. And that was money that time. It was money. Because I remember I used to run away from lessons. They would come to my house, a woman with her child. They are looking for me. What is the problem? The child has chosen me as lesson teacher. Me, I'm in the field playing football. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm talking about conditional jobs. So most, even me that time, now am I not pastoring? But I thought too. All the first thing you want to do, private schools will just employ you and start paying you some money. Very little money. But if you build your life around 25,000, will you survive in this country? That's a problem some teachers are making. Sorry, some human beings who are conditional teachers. You are not a teacher. It's a conditional job. My fear sometimes is that you will go and fall in love with the student that you don't want to leave the job. Fall in love with the student but want to leave the job. Who here would tell me that a salary is 500K? A company comes with 1 million. They are now so in love with that 500, they don't want to go to the 1 million. So I know what this 500,000 company have done for me. They love me. They were there. I will stay with them forever. We'll be together. It's not relationship. It's not marriage. Even me, your pastor, a If I'm working with a company and they are giving me 1 million, another come and say they will start with 2 million. Except the Holy Ghost tells me, stop. I am moving for him to stop me. I'll first start moving first. Yeah, yes, stop. Holy Ghost, I didn't move. Oh. If he says stop, I'll say, okay, I'm going back. But if he does not say anything, I'll take the keeping quiet. They say, shuru, shuru, ma, maganani. Meaning he wants me to be there. Now that you are a teacher, have time to learn a skill. Many people don't know how to manage their time. You are a sales girl now or a sales boy. Learn to manage your time. Like somebody that told me he's a masseuse. I nearly beat that boy up that day. I knew that boy that time. I said, where are you working? He said, sir, we're just managing somewhere as a massaging company. I said, what are you? He said, sir, I used to massage. I said, I used to massage you. He said, yes, sir, they've taught us. We know how to do it. I said, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Quit. Somebody said, well, pastor, who, if he leaves now, who will massage us? Firstly, who here goes to a masseuse? If you have been there, can we just wave our hands and give God praise? And then you have gone? Once. Oh, wow. See me after church. Let me ask you a few questions. Well, I don't know. Pastor, okay, you are touching your husband. He was a masseuse. You are a masseuse. You know, I like this kind of wife, eh? So you massage people before. Let me not ask you questions. Let me just stop there. So I told him, quit. You are teaching, for instance, let me not enter that masseuse problem. I'll leave it. You are teaching, for instance, have some time. Let's say, for instance, you are learning programming. Start learning, create 2 hours. Do you know most times we don't do anything in 24 hours? Calculate and see. You see somebody sit there and play game. Go on, he will leave his house in high level and go to Naka Road. Just go and hang out with his friend. Maybe his friend is doing POS business. Him is a teacher. Just listen to it. He's a teacher. He will leave and go there and sit with the friend. And they'll be talking about, they'll just be talking. And 12 they are poor. What if people meet in the air? Not when Jesus come. Let's say, okay, I'm going to see you in 2 hours. Catch. What flight are you taking? First or second flight? Okay, book for me. Let's meet there. That's because you people have given yourself some time. And are working what? Hard. You're working hard. Some of these things, we need to say it the way it is. Just natural. I don't know whether we used to say it with so much energy that you think is we're trying to say spiritual things. It's very basic. A lot of people don't use their time well. See, there, I can tell a lot of people don't use their time well. They'll be claiming there's no time. There's a lot of time. Don't worry, go to the UK. You think they are enjoying there. They may have money, yes. But those guys, you work for every penny. Every penny you work for it. Ask your siblings that. That's why they don't send you money anyhow. Because the way the system will wire their brain, they'll be wondering why they need to send you their $25. When you two have not done your 1 hour. I tell you, they work. Most of your people in UK and US, do they answer you every time you send message? You will message them on Wednesday, they'll say we'll talk on Saturday. You'll be wondering, you don't go there now, they form for me. It's not form. There is no time. When they work 8 hours, 10 hours, and they get back home, they'll just go and dive the bed and sleep. They just sleep and go and walk and sleep. It's on Saturday they get themselves. And they'll try to relate with human beings. That's why you are on the street of the UK or US. You see people just go like this. Everybody is moving. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So create time. Learn something while you are doing this contemporary job now. Learn something. So that in 3-4 months time, you will sack where you are and embrace your actual job. Most pastors who I mentor, I always tell them, go get a tech skill. Most pastors, I said, don't start ministry without a job. Hey, but pastor, you started without a job. Well, you want to go through those things. You want to drink well water. You want to do by force fasting. Where there's no food and you declare 3 days fast. Then anytime food comes, you break the fast. You want to do all those kind of things? Get a job, especially a tech skill, so that you can work from home. I always advise young pastors. Work from home. Because most pastors always sit in their houses. They are trying to study the word. You can be studying a book, a material, and be working on your system. And when it's 5 p.m., church is already arranged for you. You come and teach the gospel. Go back and work. A point will come, you don't even need to work again. At that point, it is understandable. Else you'll be frustrated. If you look hungry as a pastor, you are finished. Oh. Don't ever look hungry. I always used to tell them, before your members. Your members look at you and say, hey, pastors, they suffer. Oh. In fact, from our observation, members don't give to hungry-looking pastors. Because they believe they will not reap where they are sowing. Members like to give to pastors who don't look hungry. Like on campus, somebody sowed a seed, Pastor Benson. 5,000, he was wondering whether he was disgracing himself. He had no clue. 5,000 naira on campus. And he said, sir, please, I'm feeling disappointed giving you 5,000. I know the way you look is 120,000 that enters your account every month. I was looking at him and smiling. You know why? He's judging me by the looks. Indeed, that would have been not, don't judge a book by the cover. That would have been a perfect example. He judged me by the cover. He said, 120,000, you know, comes to your account, you know. I said, oh, don't worry, the 5,000 will go a long way too. God honor your seed. Nothing is too small. That 5,000 was very big. But it has no connection with the way I looked. My ghettos were still straight. I was still scenting and smelling very well. I look very good. My haircut was very okay. And they were telling me 5K is like an insult to you. I say it's not an insult. How I knew God can bless somebody on campus. Somebody was on wheelchair. He doesn't have leg. He was seated. He always sits at the back when I teach. One day he came with 5,000 to give me. So while he was trying to give me, I always like to hug him and play with him. He doesn't say, pastor, the Lord led me to give you 5,000. Hey! God catch me immediately. I said, 5,000 from you? You that we give money sometimes? I said, no. I'm not collecting money from you. He said, sir, if you don't collect this money from me, you don't like me. I said, eh? He said, sir, I can't rest. It has been over the week. I've arranged this money. Please, sir, collect this 5,000. The Lord has led me. I don't know if people remember that guy. The Lord has led me to give you. I had to collect it. When I was even spending the money, I was feeling guilty. But he pressurized me to collect the money. And it was truly the Lord. Now see how God will use somebody like that to give me money. Ah, I knew I would never be broke in my life. If God can use somebody in that kind of condition to give me money, then there's nobody that will not give me money. Are you listening to me tonight? A lot of times people don't give because they are calculating how God will bless them. If I give, how God won't take one? How? You are not God. You don't know everything. Just obey his principles and leave him with the consequences of your obedience. Finish. He has told you, sounds so good to be true. Give us, never lack, not receive us. God does not want to collect all your money you are making. But God wants to see if you have a heart of giving. Because where you are right now is not where you are supposed to be finally. This is just like a phase of your life. If you can manage 50,000 well, you'll be able to manage 50 million. Don't say, Lord, give me 50 million and test me. No, you have 50,000. What can you do with 50,000? If God can get nothing from 50,000, he will get nothing from 50 million. The tithe of 50,000 is 5,000. The tithe of 50 million is what? Huh? If you cannot give 5,000, can you give 5 million? Some of us that give, it's not because we are mumu. We are not mumu. I was joking to leaders yesterday. I said, for every person I used to know, the reason why I don't like to keep in touch sometimes is because when you just finish greeting and we talk about the good old days, the next thing they'll bill you. So sometimes we are scared to even, you know, be late. But a lot of times, I can tell you, 90 out of 100 of the people I used to know that we have spoken that asked for something, I couldn't say no. Even though it was my last. It's not because I'm a mumu. But because I just can't say no. Because truly, some of them really needed it. You can see that they really needed that money. And somehow, God will just make a way. Are you listening to me? Not just giving to the things of God. I've said it before. If all your giving starts and ends here, you are still greedy. I've said it several times. You should learn to give to people who are in need. You should be able to discern. Is this person saying the truth? I'm not saying people should have the culture of begging. That's wrong too. But is this person really saying some people are truly in need? Can you discern it and really be there for them and help them? That's what makes you a Christian. Like I said to the leaders, these are the things God is looking out for. David was in the forest, thick forest, taking care of sheep. God picked him to be king. Why? He had good character. He was so responsible. Taking care of the sheep, making sure in trying to obey the Lord, obey his father by taking care of the sheep, he now developed, God now helped him to develop somehow. As somebody said, if there's a will, there is a way. He wanted to make sure the sheep were really protected, that God helped him develop capacity to protect the sheep so much that he could keep bears and what. It was because of what he wanted to do that he discovered that capacity to destroy the wild beast, not to touch what. And that way, when he built capacity, even though he looked so small, God saw that he can kill Goliath. God picked him with that good character to become king. And he proved it. When people were running away from problems, he was running to the problem. He has learned to solve big problems from that little assignment yet. That's why we tell you, they give you cell, you are doing cold. You say, the Lord has given me a global apostolic ministry. Come on, cell, you can't win souls in cell. That's why I see some people who claim to be prayer warriors. They cannot do ministry. They can't do anything ministry. But I'm saying this with no fear. Meet a Christ Embassy guy that has a cell, or a Christ Embassy lady that has a cell. Take them to the thick forest. They will still raise a church there. I've said it several times. The training. Some of these sub-pastors you see there, they are bigger than Jews. Don't think that because you are under authority, you are small. Somebody that can learn stronger. Apostle is not by title. You tell a lady, go there and start a cell. She goes there before you know a cell is 200. You are joking with that lady. But she started it from very little by little. Firstly, they gave her a responsibility in church to clean the church. She was doing it. The pastor said, if she can do this, she can do that. That's how you promote people. If he's not coming late, he can become a pastor. He can become a cell leader. And they give you that responsibility of being a cell leader. This cell dies in your hand. You allowed it to die in your hand. Think about David. That's how he became king. You is dying in your hand. You are not responsible before God. That's how God judges us. If you check the things that cause make for your promotion in the realm of the spirit, they are not big, big things. They are very, very small things. Remember, it is also small things that kill people in the realm of the spirit. Little foxes, what? Spoil the vine. They gave you a little instruction. You can't do it. You are not saying, I'm big, I'm global. In the name of Jesus, I'm big, I'm global. You cannot do a little instruction, little. You have given 10 excuses. In less than 2 months, you have not done that responsibility 3 times. You actually say, win a soul, bring a soul to church. Every time you cannot, and you have business, you are joking with this God. That's why we have a lot of poor people. A lot of poor people, they don't understand that if you're not interested in God's business, he will not be interested in your own. He is actually speaking to you. See, your business failing as a Christian. Look at it. God is speaking to you. There's something you are not doing well. A lot of times you go and hire a digital marketer and say, promote the business. It's not just that promote the business. Do you take God serious? When they talk to you, you have like 3 people. You have fired three workers from your shop. Any worker you employ will disrespect you and leave the shop. A lot of times people don't check. His nemesis, what a man sows, he reap. You are in a church. No leader can talk to you. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can talk to you. They talk to you, get offended. They talk to you, get offended. What a man sows, he reaps. You see, you can be misbehaving in church and be behaving well in your office. Do you know that misbehavior in church, you reap it in your office? They'll be promoting everybody. You that is misbehaving, it come off flag. They will not promote you. You'll be wondering, why did they not promote me? Why? Then you now, the real character will now come out in the office. I've been working with everybody now. Now they are seeing the villain in you. Say, hey, thank God we did not promote him. Would have suffered. You can't hide bad character. Solve it. You cannot hide it. If you don't pretend here, you go and pretend elsewhere. Later will come, the bad character will show. When I wanted to marry my wife, I saw one thing. I saw that she could be angry. The first time we had a little, not a problem. I just wanted to make sure our friendship is working back. She now changed. How come she now started hitting her leg and going? Hey! I started giving God praise. Do you know after she came back and apologized, I started making her angry by force? I would just look for a problem and create it. I just wanted to see whether that demon is still there. Then I saw that sometimes she just frown her face like, try and hold it. Then when I now tested her, I found out that she's not strong. One day I now tried to test her again 2 times and I saw that she was crying. She could not shout again. She was just crying. That was strange. I've not seen somebody crying this cute before. Then you don't see me hug her and say, stop crying. God is with you. Stop crying. It is well. But Pastor Simon, you know, don't cry is a test. You passed the test. Test of righteousness. You passed it. Till I found out that now I don't need to. I think my wife has gotten to that point that everything I do, if I know that I'm in trouble, anything I do is okay. So I say, yes, it's okay. Thank you. Then you see me, I will not go again. Why is she saying everything is okay? I'll be like, why you agree with everything I'm saying? She now keep quiet. Are you okay? Yes. Can I go now? No, you can't. You should shake. Move your body. React. Just imagine I wake up 24 hours, I didn't find her trouble. The day would never be sweet. I can't sleep well when I say me and my wife I did not do something that make her say, Pastor Simon, please stop now. It has to happen. It's my right. As a husband, it's my right. I must draw her hair, I must do something. She has to do that. Then I'll say, oh, thank you, Lord, for today. Then I'll go and sleep. What is marriage without finding trouble? It's not nice. I remember one time I found that trouble. Say, Pastor Simon, this is not my kind of joke. I said, hey, so everybody should have his kind of joke. And I did it again. Say, Pastor Simon. And I did it again. Then she came with blue. I said, yeah, blow me now. Let's see what that. She even blew me. And I held two of her hands with my left hand. I said, look at you. I would just. She couldn't move. Oh, left hand, oh, two hands. God, I really blessed men. Oh. And yet, they talk more than men. They have mouths. When our left hand has finished them, only left hand. If you hide my left hand and bring my Matisse leg and hand alive, this left hand will win. I don't think any lady here, no matter my left hand, has won any fight with a woman. Not with a man. Oh. Men will break it for you. When I saw that thing, I dealt with it till he left. That's why you never hear, Pastor Simon, I can't take this anymore. It can't happen. We took out that demon a long time ago. We took it out. There's a spirit of patience and long suffering. And I don't think it's been exercised because I'm not a bad husband. So we don't used to touch long suffering. Maybe a little bit of patience when I find trouble. But not long suffering. Deal with the wrong characters you are seeing right now. If you observe, you lie. Do you know you can be a believer and be lying? Huh? Hey, talk to me, church. Do you know you can lie? You just be gisting, the gist is just going, you now be clouded by the gist. You now lie two lies inside the gist. And everybody would think you are saying the truth. You would be gisting with somebody, it would not be as if the, you know, some of you used to compete even in gist. Somebody is giving you gist, you now be feeling like this person's gist is more than your own gist. Then you now have to lie for your gist to be more interesting than that person's gist. Some people do it. Then the Holy Ghost will not tell you quietly, but it's a lie. You now say tell the Holy Ghost, sorry, sir. Another time will come again, you are not lying. Another time will come, you are not lying. It starts physically to enter spiritual. Before one day you will lie that two angels spoke to you. That's how it starts. That's how it starts. That's how fake ministries used to start too. You be entering church, you see somebody's name tag and the rest. You now go to the front. I see Stella. Who is Stella? Stella. As she comes before, I say, did I meet you before now? Did anybody tell me about you? Did we tell ourselves about ourselves? Blah, 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 blah. You know, there was a prophet, so-called prophet, who had an embarrassing moment one time in the prophetic. He called a young man and called his name and said something. He said, did we meet before? The man said, yes. He said, what is wrong with this one? Take this guy out of here. He said, but I thought we met just before the service and we're greeting each other. He said, I don't think this man is okay. Take him out of where? Bloggers, trust bloggers. Bloggers have screenshotted. They have. Then there was one he wanted to change. He carried, you know, some people have crazy mentality. He carried iPad like this. Put it at the camera. Oh, wow, you don't get where pictures there. Okay. There's always one small side that I don't know if maybe my iPad will have it. Let me try it with my iPad. All right. So, this is the camera, right? All right. You all can see, right? And he said he wants to capture somebody's child in the spirit. You see, these kind of things, they cause trouble, unnecessary things. We are here, you want to capture somebody's child in the spirit at home. You see, it's these people that say there are so much, some dimensions we need to enter into. This is how the trouble used to start. I heard the pastor saying, some will say, it is not word, give us power, not word. Now they are entering the power. There's no difference between you and a babalawo if you leave the word of God and you are saying power, power, power. There's no difference. That's our problem, Jesus. That he now touched. Now you can see a picture here, right? As he touched the picture, the child of the person that came out. Bloggers, they not hear word though. They will not say they are fighting men of God. They zoom closer till his hand. You can go and check it on the internet. His hand touched the picture. Then one of my friends now said, they are just Antichrist. I say it's a lie. Come and see the hand. Why are we behaving foolish? Come and see the hand. His tongue touched that picture. Unnecessary things. You want to touch things. What do you want to touch? There are dimensions. Dimensions. Dimensions we need to enter. Dimensions where you're talking about dimensions. I know a man of God who was preaching. He now forgot that he was on stage as he was just moving on the air. Hey, you see, boys, just like, you want to move on the air? Listen, just be praying. Whenever there's a need for God to show something supernatural with your life, He will show it. Don't be imagining things I want to replicate. So, you too, you forget that you're on the stage. Forget I see now. You don't test the Lord your God. He can do it. Rest with the assurance that He can what? do it. At any time he will do it. When it comes and it's necessary for your life, when it comes to a situation and it's necessary for that power to be seen in your life, God will show it. But you can't sit down and be saying, now watch me, just like the man of God. Like this same person I'm talking about. They did a video of him. He said he was walking on air. Bloggers again came close and said, we should watch. It's not air. He's marching the stairs. They now say the bloggers are against the man of God. They are not against him. It's that small, small. Appetite for lie. That's why some stories people say, we know it's a lie. And nobody is born to come and say these things are lies. Christianity will not survive 5-10 years from now if all these lies keep on prevailing. I was in the spirit where 25 men of God, they were scanning us in Africa. Four out of the 5 times we were all screened. I took 100 over 100. Me, I took 110. I've seen some kind of things. And you see people sit down, they can't say anything. These are atrocities. These are atrocities. This is not the kind of God I left my life to follow. If it's like that, I should have become a professional footballer. Now some of you won't be calling Papilo. Oh, Nigeria Papilo. I left everything to follow this God, not to sit down. Somebody will be portraying God wrongly and I'll keep quiet in the name of honor. That's not honor, it's foolishness. I made a post 2 days back that, you see, some people think that kindness is that you are not obvious, saying what is obviously wrong. That when you say something is wrong, then you are not a kind person. No, it's a lie. I can be very kind and tell you are wrong. Because I know that wrong thing has the potency to wipe an entire generation out. I can't keep my kindness at the mercy of a generation being wiped out. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. So every lie must give way for the truth. I remember I debunked a certain mindset one time. I think sometimes these guys just start like that, but as they grow, they leave those things. Saying that he went to see somebody and the person was saying he was talking with Isaiah. He said, you are reading the book of Isaiah. And somebody, that's where pain me the most. And somebody is talking to Isaiah. All the young boys stood up and did like this. They want to talk to Isaiah. So me, I'm a useless pastor because I am reading the book of Isaiah. I read it, one of the sweetest books to read, the Old Testament. The prophecy is very fresh. But Isaiah met some people and he's telling them mouth to mouth. We are reading wrong stuffs. I went to see a certain man of God. He told me, so sorry, I've been talking with Ezekiel for 10 hours now. The first time I heard that thing, my heart skipped because of where I came from. I said, God, this thing should not reach where I came from. If it reach, people that will see Melchizedek. You will hear, I was with Melchizedek just this evening. And he said something to tell you this. And when they are talking, they always have people who hype that, who do things like the ministry is being affirmed. You know, here, lady, that's affirmation that Melchizedek spoke. Melchizedek told me that God is going to bring an order of priesthood in this place. I'm seeing 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, I'm here. See, we have done God right and grow to the point that those things don't move us. Don't think it's pride. It's not pride. Quote me anywhere. It does not move me. You see this hand and leg thing they used to grow? We started growing this thing. It was me that scattered that thing that time. I asked my brothers. I said, this hand was growing. Almost everybody did it used to grow. See, put your hand together now. Put your hand together. Let me show you something. Stand up. Put your hand together. It looks like one of your hands is growing. Do you know it's a lie? These your hands are equal. But when I heard it the first time, it's as if this one, see, it's longer than this one. But it's because you can't really measure, firstly, see your back. There are a lot of factors. They are equal. They are not saying, okay, as I'm telling you this grow, you think it's growing. I say, grow, grow. Then I hold it. Are you observing something? Is it not equal now? And I told myself, this thing is a lie. There's nothing growing. Sit down. I said, if you want to see real miracles, let's see who they cut his hand. When I said that thing, we stopped those things. I said, let them bring people that they cut their hand. Let's command it to grow. That thing never happened again where I grew up. So when I started seeing it these days, I was just like, what's all this? Jesus commanded withered hand to come out. You are telling somebody, command the hand to come out now. You, every hand can grow. But when you see that one now, you'll be like, oh, please, very fast, just move those people away. We just have to be real to ourselves. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Be real to yourselves. Some people think it's pride. We're in an age right now that we don't know what is fake from what is what. The ones we know are fake. Some good ones now following them and calling them spiritual sons. You'll be wondering, what are we inside? Can Christianity survive 10 years after now with what we are seeing? People cannot tell what is fake from what is real, because the person you now say is fake now, the person that is real now is claiming that is cool with this person. I had a man of God proving one time that picture they took was, he said, what is there to capture somebody in the spirit? And you people are, I say, it's a lie. They did not capture anybody in the spirit. My honor is not unto foolishness. And I'm not teaching you to be dishonorable. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that when you see the truth, run away from, when you see a lie, run away from the lie. Stand with the truth. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? People should not come and be saying lies and be cooking up stories that don't add up, and we are believing in the name of one to be one. No. The epicenter where we will meet is the knowledge of Christ. The Bible says, till we all come to the knowledge of the Christ and the unity of what? Of the faith. The knowledge of the Christ is the unity of the faith. That's where all of us will meet. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And if you don't know how to take away lies, you will not really touch God in his entirety. You will not be able to really see God work in your life. Sieve away lies. What is not working is not working. Are you listening to me? Don't be trying to explain rubbish. What is not working is not what. Pray it works. Be very sincere. Hallelujah to Jesus. So be mature Christians, have impetus, holy impetus. Somebody lies, debunk the lie. Alright, finally, just be a wonderful person. Tell somebody, be a wonderful human being. Respect your bosses. Be nice to people. Love people genuinely. And of course, walk in wisdom. Be nice. Serve people properly. The Bible says, he that cannot take care of another man's business cannot take care of his own. They told me about a young man who was here that is doing town crier evangelism. And I laughed. Maybe when somebody sees me laugh, he says, Pastor, that laugh was not necessary. It was 100% necessary. I laughed. I said, somebody who could not win one soul, who always had excuses to win soul, is doing town crier evangelism. He will cry his life out. Because the Bible says, what a man sows, he will reap. Now that is your own, you want to do down cry evangelism. When you were walking and serving God here, you could not go and win souls. You cannot go out of your way to win souls. But now that you think you are building a legacy for yourself, you are crying out there. You are truly just crying in the flesh. You don't know this God we serve. He has promised you, if you don't reap what you sow, my name is not my name. Let me tell you in another way how God said that thing. If I am God, you must reap what you sow, except you repent. Nemesis will always happen, except you what? Repent. That's why you will not reap what you have sown. But if you don't repent, what you sow, you reap. Are you listening to me? So be very wise. Somebody train you and put you in a shop, and you are doing the thing anyhow. And you want to become a madam one day. What you reap, you sow. I think people suffer nice people. That's what I've observed. Nice people suffer the most. Somebody does the best for you, you still are messing, you are just messing with the person's business. You think they are joking. Somebody invests hundreds of thousands, millions on a business, you are doing it anyhow. Like your father is the one that owes it. You're joking. Then you want to become a madam one day. You know, I was talking to my wife. I said, some people who are just forcing them to be rich, they don't want to be rich. They already want, they know they deserve just 100,000, 200,000. They just want to settle for less. Why do you want disturbing ourselves? Let's try our best and leave the rest for God. God is the ultimate savior. We are not the ones. So I told her, I said, you got to be strict with your business. Are you listening to me? Certain excuses some of you take in business, they are very stupid excuses. Like I was telling my wife one time, I was complaining, and I said I was going to talk to the person. I think I even did. You are in your shop. You now want to go back home and go and do something before you come back. If you are in a bank, will you leave bank and go and do something at home before you come back? Huh? Will you do it? But when it's somebody you are familiar with, you can do your mind. That is why it's some of you that turn good people to become bad people. Make up their mind that they will not be good anymore. Because you joke with nice people. You just joke anyhow with their lives. If you meet strangers, you wouldn't do what you are doing. Because they don't want to look at you. A white man will sack you on arrival. Sack you. How many of you have worked for white firms before? Remotely. You are telling them Nigeria don't have light. They don't care what you are saying. Benway don't have light. You think it's justified? Before you finish talking, you are not in the life again. The next thing you see, you receive an email. You have been sacked. Sorry, we cannot work with you again. Sorry about your government, but it's not our fault. It's just obvious that you can't work with us again. You are sacked. Thank you. You try to explain. They've already blocked your email from receiving this thing. That's how they sack you like a dream. But in Nigeria, a madam can come to a shop. Where are you? I'm not around. Where did you go? Sorry, madam. I had to travel to Abuja very fast to do something. What? Without informing me? Sorry, ma. It was a family decision. Let your family pay you for that decision they are making. Well, you see, we nice creek. Okay, no problem. Do not call you and preach for you. It's next time. If you want to travel, don't travel. Take an excuse. Hey. Hallelujah to Jesus. You have to wake up. That's wickedness. I hope you know that. Huh? It's wickedness. And some of you always think the opportunity you see today, you see it everywhere. Some of you, the last opportunity you are getting is this one you are taking for granted. If you don't take time. The last one you are getting is this one you are taking for granted. You are misbehaving and doing your mind. You think these human beings are everywhere in the world. Don't take people for granted. Are you listening to me tonight? Some of you, if you are finished this service, go and apologize to your boss. Whether they are Muslims, go and apologize if you have been acting stupidly. Then the worst of you are those that steal. You are working for somebody and you are stealing. You think God is not watching you. You don't even have mind and bring it and put as offering. That's when the fire will burn you even more. While we are eating your offering, fire is burning you. Meanwhile, we have warned you, don't bring stolen money here. Niger Bet people have warned you, don't give us your money. Our guy is not watching, you have pocket 1,000. You have pocket 2,000. I was at the fuel station one day to buy fuel. The man said, Oga, check your meter. And then they like cheat people. I said, okay. I naturally don't check. Okay, Agatha was there. That's why she's laughing. So I bent, I looked at it. 20,000. I've paid for it. Guess what this man did? You know, these people that lie, and they like to present themselves like truthful people. He pulled it well, where just, you know, pulled it well till it reached 18,000. I said, Toga, have a wonderful day. And also something that looked like one there. I said, what is one doing in this place? It's supposed to be 20. And when I checked, it was 18,000. That means if I leave, you put 22,000 in his pocket. So when I looked, I said, Oga, the thing never complete. He looked at me, he said, hey, I'm not Siamo, I'm not Siamo. I said, is it not this man that told me to come and check my... You are looking at meter like this. You say you are not seeing it. 18, you don't know 18. That kind of person, now see where you are in life. You want God to bless you, see what you are doing. Some people you meet there can even change your life. But see what you are doing. I've heard stories where they meet people at fuel station and their life change. Just because they even know how to greet. Greeting like this have changed people's life. Hello, sir. Good afternoon, sir. But you are always having a bad day. How much fuel you want to buy? Okay, talk something. I know they hear. Yeah, I beg. I know they could move. Talk. How much fuel? But they talk like saying, you know, I don't get them out. I beg. My dad, we know they fight. Okay, I beg. I just said, fuel. Come on for here. I beg. Ah. Like I was in a bank one day, I said, this woman will not pass. I've observed the woman twice. She shouts at customer, you be. One day, I think she heard my preaching because she has changed. I saw how she shouted for this old woman. Madam, please, I don't have time. I said, hey, God. This old woman that was walking, you know, her leg was even paining her. She shouted on the woman. Shouted on another man that came. I said, God, let me meet this woman today. But I didn't meet her that day. Then one of those days I came to do transfer, electronic transfer, a huge amount of money for church work. I think when we were trying to get land or something. And as I was trying to do it, she said, Oga Abek, talk, I'm listening to you. I said, Oga Abek, who is Oga Abek? She said, sir, please tell me what you want so that I can do and serve other people. I said, my friend, will you keep your mouth shut? Who are you talking to like that? Who the hell are you? People started gathering small, small. I said, this lady is such an embarrassment to UBA. I will close all my account. All my account. And I heard somebody say, if this man closed all his account, we've lost more than 20 accounts in this place. All our departmental accounts. All our church accounts. I said it straight. The manager came and says, what's the problem? I said, why would you people employ somebody that talk to people anyhow? I've been observing this lady. She doesn't know how to talk to people. And probably she's earning probably 70,000 or 100,000. You think we don't know your salary? That's what I told her. I see how you talk to people that can even change your life. You don't even know the people you talk to every day. As a banker, behind the counter, morning to night, you collect 70,000 at the end of the month. And you talk to people anyhow. If you go to that bank, I tell you, that was the preaching that changed that lady's life. She's one of the most humble people. I'm saying it, they can look at, they know what I'm saying. She's very humble. Nice. Hallelujah to Jesus. If I enter UBA, she'll be calling me, sir, what do you want? I say, I thought there are people, not just tell me, sir. You can see that, sir. I said, okay. It just takes one boldness, you know, bold act to make some people wise. That's why the Bible says, I've not given the spirit to be what? But the spirit of what? Sound mind. Of what? Power. I did not insult her. I just told her condition and advised her. You know, these bankers, they think they are rich. We know they are not rich. God can make them rich although. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm not trying to talk before Bankers Association of Nigeria with them. I'm not trying to talk down them. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. That was just a wrong character I corrected. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I hope all of you, if God helps you to become bankers, you know how to talk to people nicely in Jesus' mighty name. Not just in banks. Some of you work in firms. Learn to talk to people nicely, right? A millionaire I heard in Kaduna changed somebody's life. He was working like a casual man around Ungwan Megero, just working nicely. Went to a bookshop, carried a book by a pastor on prosperity. The pastor that wrote it does not have the prosperity. He carried it and just, he didn't know why he carried bilonia. Went and read the book. He now said he has never seen life like this. Called the number that he wanted to talk to the pastor. He now asked the pastor, my name is so-so-so. What do you want? Blank check. What do you want me to do for you? Mention anything in your church and in your life. I'll do it for you. He said, sir, it's not like there's any problem. There's one land we saw over 60 million. He said, okay, send the account. I'm sending 65 million. What else do you want? He said, sir, the problem now is to build the church. Okay, what will it take to build the church? He said it. I said, my house too. I'm living in a rented apartment. Listen, I'm not lying. The man did the building of the church. He gave money for the building of the church. He gave money for the pastor's house, land and house. That's how that pastor became a millionaire. What he did was that he wrote a material, kept there. He's not as rich as what he wrote. Prosperity teaching. You know, sometimes some of these things we are teaching you, it's not like we're in the reality of it, when it comes to money especially, because we don't work as pastors. But we're sharing with you that are working, that it will work for you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, it will work for you. That's how he became a millionaire, House on the Rock pastor in Kaduna. I think he's a Yoruba man. True life story. You can go and vet it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So sometimes somebody that can change your life, God will bring. He may look very ordinary. See how Elon Musk used to dress. World richest man. You don't see any agbada. You just be walking normal, 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 normal. See him still taking coffee. Just walk and take coffee and he's just looking and thinking of the next project to hit. Now he has gone, they say he's building the city in Mars. You know, according to him, if rapture happens, some of them will go there. Crazy ideas. You know, I always say, let me say this last before. I say that this man, Elon Musk, is a very wonderful person. The only problem is that everybody has a place. Most people that are not Christians, they have a place where there's deficiency of knowledge. No matter what you know, as long as you're not a child of God, a Christian, you lack the knowledge of something. Paul said Apollos was ignorant because he knew only the baptism of John. Elon Musk is a wonderful soul. I always say it. He has made up his mind that he's going to deal with the woke mentality for stealing his son. So the only people that can help him achieve this are Christians. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So he likes Christians very well. But this is ideology. You will see that it's from pain that he's betting certain ideologies. The rapture thing, I'm very sure he will leave that one very soon. That mass thing. I think again it's because he's seen that world rulers are wicked people. They don't like to do things nicely. So it feels like he wants to create a place where they can have another leadership. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And all these wicked people in the probably jihadists will not be there. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why he's thinking like that. Secondly, he wants human beings to think in a certain way, those cheap ideologies. He said, let's program human beings to think in a certain way. That doesn't make him 66. What he's doing will fail. It will not work. Human beings don't need any chip, AI chip, to think rightly. Because he feels like human beings should be controlled to think rightly. And one of his thoughts is that they should not be thinking LGBT. He wants to program them to think against those things. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? He's trying to achieve the right thing the wrong way. Only the gospel can achieve that. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's the truth. Only the gospel can achieve that. So maybe we'll start doing programming that will make people always interface with the gospel. Building softwares and apps that will make people always interfere with the gospel. Isn't it? All right, bow your heads and pray. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you for your word. We believe that your word is a light for our path, a lamp for our feet. As we go out, we will live in the reality of your word. In Jesus' gracious name, we pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, Worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.